today comes out of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 13, 1 through 9, and 18 through 23. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this before we start. It's a parable. And then the next verses, 18 through 23, is the author of Matthew's interpretation of what the parable meant. So it's almost like you hear the story twice. But the first part is probably the closest recording of what Jesus did that day. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that when he had to get into a boat, and he sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, his seeds fell on the path, and the birds came up and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since there was no depth of soil. But when the sun arose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain 100 times, 60 times, 30 times. Let anyone with ears listen." And then verse 18. When you hear the parable of the sower, hear this. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what is sown on the path. As for what is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, and it endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arise on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what is sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for that which was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Well, as you probably picked up, I don't have much gardening experience or growing thing experience. Where I grew up in Piedmont, the only cow I saw was one that they would bring on the playground, and they would say, "This is where milk comes from." Not early enough for me to pick those things up. But I learned a little bit about growing. You knew at least in Sunday school when they were going to talk about passages like this, you would expect in your Sunday school classroom, it would not be the usual paper and scissors with those round edges and crayons. In that day, there would be a bag of dirt and seeds and some Dixie cups. Dixie cups are little cups about this big. And the teacher would talk about how things grow. And she said, "Everyone gets their own Dixie cup and put the seed in it and it will grow." And I remember thinking, I wanted it to grow right then, but it doesn't grow so quickly. We'd put it on the windowsill and you'd have to wait for it to grow. Well, what do you expect? I would forget to water mine. Or then I'd try to water it too much, and it would never grow. And I would notice some did really well and others didn't. It's not an ideal location in a Sunday school classroom with no attention for something to grow. It doesn't work really well. But one year in my backyard, my mother decided to have a garden. It's a very brave thing for a Henderson to do. She decided she would grow tomatoes and zucchini. You know, they're no-fail crops. And she went in the backyard and she started weeding and digging up the dirt. She said, "Maggie Lou, would you like to help?" And I said, no. But then when she got ready, she went to the grocery store and she bought little tomato plants and a package of zucchini seeds. And I really wanted to help then. I wanted to put the tomatoes in the ground. They were really fun. She said, "Maggie Lou, no. You have to do them with some care. This is a part you don't get to help with." But she brought out the zucchini seeds and said, "You can plant these." And I started planting. She goes, "No, Maggie, you have to plant about this far apart and this deep and put them in the ground." And I did. And that was about all I cared about the garden until one day I went in my pocket of my my shorts I was wearing, and I found a packet of seeds, the zucchini seeds. I hadn't planted them all, so I decided to plant them everywhere. I put them where my mother's tomatoes were. I put them in the Shasta daisies. I put them, the seeds, in the front yard. I put them on the walk. I put them everywhere, and I just forgot about them. And then things started growing in my mother's garden. There were tomatoes, and we had them on our salad. There was a lot of zucchini. We hadn't anticipated that. We had zucchini bread and stuffed zucchini and sautéed zucchini, and we gave it to the neighbors. And then my mother looked around the garden, and she realized there were some zucchini plants in places she did not expect. And where we had been harvesting the zucchini about this big, they were like this long. And she said, "Maggie Lou, can you tell me why there is zucchini growing in the front yard? Maggie Lou, can you tell me why there's zucchini in the daisies? Maggie, can you?" And I said, "Well, I just planted them everywhere." And my mother just laughed at me, because we had a lot more zucchini than we suspected. I think my mother at times would go and put them on the neighbor's front porch at like 12 o'clock at night and not say that they were from her. But she had the good sense to laugh about the zucchini, because you know where it grew better? Where I planted it, in the garden. It did better when it was ignored. And there was some joy of finding where growth had started. When I thought about this passage, though, I realized that I mostly think about gardening, or this passage, in those Dixie cup kind of ways. I worry about the soil. I worry about you. I wonder, is your soil in good shape? Am I going to preach something that's going to grow, or is it just going to roll off of you today? Will it work at all? Or then I start worrying about my own spiritual soil. I like that interpretation. I spend a lot of time with that. And I start thinking about myself. It's like a preacher named Barbara Brown Taylor said. She says when she reads this passage, she starts worrying about what kind of ground she is with God. I start worrying about if there's birds in my fields, how many rocks are there, how many thorns. I start worrying about if I need to clean it all up right now and how I will make myself well-tilled and well-fertilized for the sowing of God's word. I start worrying about the odds. They're not very good, 1 to 3. And then I think about those odds. At least I should start cleaning up my act and start changing things. You start worrying about yourself so much. And you know, and about the condition of the dirt, but do you notice this parable is not called the parable of the good soil. It's not called the parable of one who uses a lot of fertilizer. It's called the parable of the sower. But we get really caught up in Matthew's interpretation of this. See, there must have been something going on with Matthew's community that he thought they really needed to hear this interpretation. This is how he understood it. But it seems like he forgot it was a parable. You know what a parable is. It's a story. That's all it is. Jesus told a lot of these stories, and he didn't explain them. See, a parable is a story you tell, and every time you tell it, you think, huh, I wonder if that's how it goes. Every time you tell it, you look at it in a different way. One person said, when you tell a parable, it makes the mind just a little bit doubtful. So you wonder where the thing could be speaking to you this time. It's like a jewel with many facets. You look at it and you say, oh, I see it this way. And when you turn the jewel, you see it another way. It's how does it speak to you? It's a little bit scary because you can't really explain it. We like to be in control of things and where they grow. But I wonder if there's some joy if we start looking at this passage as not being about us so much and the soil, but about the sower. The parable of the sower. It takes the emphasis off us. And I can kind of understand why Matthew didn't want to talk about it so much. Because the sower, it's not a really great sower. Let's talk about business plans. The sower goes out and throws seeds everywhere. Didn't care where it was going, didn't look, didn't make a careful plan, didn't go out and analyze the soil content. Didn't go out and think, I'm going to do better if I plant over here than over here. He just threw them with abandon, with extravagance, with generosity, and then was amazed and joyful when things grew. Well, what if in this passage, the parable this parable, what happened if we think as God as the sower? Now that's an interesting thing. God as the extravagant sower of seeds that just puts God's love, God's forgiveness, God's truth everywhere, just throws it out all over creation and doesn't really analyze where it's going to go. But there's some good news, because sometimes if we looked at the analyzation, we wouldn't get the seed so much. But he throws it everywhere. Wouldn't it be an interesting image if we think about God's love like that goes out in abandon, that goes out in joy, and just wait to see where it would grow? Fred Craddock, who talks about this story, said when he thinks about the parable in this way, this is what it makes him say. He says, first of all, please do not give up on anyone. Please. The plain fact is you don't know where the seed is going to grow. So don't be selective about who you decide is worth having some seed in them. Don't think that way. Don't think, she looks like a good risk, or that program looks like it may be worth my time. Throw out the seeds. Let it go on the path where it doesn't look like anything will grow. Just let it go. Randomly scatter the good news of God, because you can't predict where it's going to go. Because you all, every congregation, has a dozen or so people that their families would have thought they would never be found in church. There's people in this pews that people would say, I just never thought he'd have anything to do with this kind of thing. And we believe that people can change, that there can be growth. So why not throw that seed everywhere? I wonder if we play with the image of Christ being the sower. I mean, he did kind of act like this in a not a terribly well-planned way. He gave his stories to everyone. He preached in temples. He preached out of boats. He preached in people's houses. He made sure that everyone could get a chance to hear, because you never know who's going to be changed by it, where it's going to take root. I mean, look at Peter. You know Peter. He was one of Jesus' disciples. How many times did he deny Jesus before he was crucified? How many times? Three. Not so hot. And yet, he's the one that started the church. Or Paul. Oh my goodness. Paul, who persecuted Christians, who was the one that made sure that some of them were even put to death. You would have never thought anything would grow in him, but it did. And he ended up starting congregations and teaching people. Amazing things can happen. We just never know where the seed is going to go. And that's why when we follow Christ, we kind of try to do our good works, our acts of compassion everywhere. What happened if you look at yourself as the sower? You can play with the parable that way. Maybe you all, I got to guarantee it's true, you and I are the ones that throw out the seeds. That means we do work. It means we talk about the stories of God. It means we try to learn. It means we try to live in a way that's full of compassion and justice so people may learn some about Jesus. We do it wherever we are, not just where we calculate it will do the best. I think about this youth group. They're in San Francisco right now. And who knows what they're going to do here, but they are trusting that God is going to use them. And they may change some lives, but you know what's going to happen? They're going to be changed too. And they will be amazed what happens. And that's how God uses us sometimes. What I like about the image of just throwing out the seeds, it reminds me that I'm not in control. And that's hard for a pastor, because we like to be in control. I'd like to say, you know, if a third of you were changed in the sermon, I'd be pretty pleased. But you know, it ain't up to me. God says, be faithful, do your work, put the seeds out there, and I'm going to grow. And it doesn't grow as quickly as we want. Like those little Dixie cups when I was a kid, I wanted growth right away. And it happens really slowly sometimes. And so you all are planters. Now, Eva, when you grow up to be about 20, no, it's going to happen. You may do amazing things that you learned in Sunday school, and you don't even remember those teachers' names because someone thought you could do things with God, and they plant an idea, and it happens when it's then. It's going to happen to you guys, too. I'm going to remind you about this, because God has amazing plans for you. Now, I've been doing youth work for so long. You know I'm turning 50 at the end of July. And I have people in my first youth group, and I don't even remember their names. I bring out those photo albums. I thought I would never forget them. All gone. But I got an email on Facebook a couple of months ago from a girl that had been in my first youth group over 20 years ago. And this is what she wrote me. Her name was Carrie. She said, "Maggie, it's been a long time since I have seen you." That's an understatement. "I wanted to send you a quick message to know what a positive impact you had on me while we were at Hope Presbyterian Church in Austin. You helped me shape a foundation of faith that I was able to survive the trials of dealing with an enormous betrayal in my church family. My middle school years were difficult at time, trying for me and my parents. You were such a positive soul and really helped me see the benefits of the church and faith that would bring me to deal with other difficulties. I am now happy to say that I have made it through the dark times and found a calling in a career I love, a husband I adore, and I am mommy to two adorable redheaded girls." Now, it's a rare privilege you get to hear that 20 years later. And tell you the truth, I don't remember her. But I got to hear this joy because you all will plant seeds and never know where they're going to grow, and you've just got to trust God to that. I trusted her to God, and look at the amazing things God did for her. You know, friends, you just got to plant the seeds and let it go because you cannot make things grow. You don't see farmers talking to seeds, "Grow, I want you to grow." No. They can try to do it, but the miracle is it happens. With the power of God and growing, things happen. It may mean, as a church, we got to worry about growing things, not so much about numbers. That we've got to throw out God's good news, act in ways that are compassionate, do justice, and trust that God's going to do something with it. Like every Saturday, we give out 300 bags of food here. Now, we really don't know what happens to it. There's rumors that they sell it on the street. I'm thinking, yeah, there's a big market for a thing of rice and some lentils and some carrots. You know, they may give it to their friends. But we have to trust that people really need that food and that it's going to be used. I do hear the story sometimes of when they can't eat it, they share it with the person down their hallway, or it makes a difference. We've got to trust that God's going to use that seed and that compassion. So I invite you today to be a church that hears the promise of the parable, the promise to keep on spreading the seed, the promise to live out the gospel, the good news, in faithful acts, the promise that even if you feel dry and there's nothing growing right now, God can still be working something in you. The promise of a God who sends Jesus Christ and love and forgiveness and sows it out again and again till it takes root. Because the real harvest will come, and the growing and the power is up to God. And that is a fine thing. So trust yourself to the sower. Take the trust that the sower has in you that you can spread the good news. And celebrate when you see it. And hold fast when you don't. Because we have a God that will grow good things in us, that has hope in a world where there is darkness. So let us grow in faith, in love, in patience, this day and forevermore. Amen.